Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt. It's a new year, and are we going to do, this is food news and reviews. I think that's what Bob calls it, and Bob will be back next week. Let's say hello to Chicago Tribune food critic Louisa Chu. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Wendy.
All right, so we do like a recap of 2025 in the food department. Is that what we're doing today? The most memorable dishes and drinks across Chicago?
Let's do it.
All right. Where do we begin?
Well, you know, we put up a story at the Tribune with my food team's most memorable dishes and drinks. And so, you know, we can start with pizza because pizza is universal in Chicago. And this past year, one of my favorites, one of my most memorable pizzas was from Pizza Michi. And they have created what I like to call like a cultural center to the Chicago-style thin crust tavern pizza, whatever you call it. It's the thin pizza that's cut in squares that if you grew up in Chicago, we all know what that is.
Yeah.
And so, but they, you know, I mean, they have thrown it back, not even thrown it back, because I know that back in the day they did not do it the same way. They put in the same kind of like artisan bread care with like sourdough starter into the crust, because like back in the day, I think we talked about it, you know, we used to have pizza bones. You never ate the crust. It was terrible. It was, it was as bad as the box. But their crust is so good. My mouth is watering. And so one of my favorites, if you go, it's really hard to get a table. I'm going to tell you right now, order takeout. And I did a taste test for my review. It held up. I highly recommend getting the half pepperoni, hot honey, and jalapeno, which is especially, Federighi's favorite toppings, with a half cheese pizza, a lovely cheese pizza all for yourself, the throwback Kevin McAllister of Home Alone. So you can appreciate that masterpiece of pizza. Get it for takeout, and it's so good. So good.
Question for you. Did you, Louisa Chu, get your pepperoni on top of the cheese or underneath it?
There, they do the pepperoni on top. It is the what they call the cup and char.
Yes.
Yeah.
That little cup of grease, that's what I call it.
So good. Cup of heaven, I'm telling you.
When I do like our local thin crust pizza, because I've never called it tavern style in my entire life, they don't put the pepperoni on top. But if you requested people anywhere that you order a pizza, they will do it for you. And it really does make it different because it gets a little charred then.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is that like language changes so that now we call it tavern style because there's like lots of really great pizzas that are thin crust that are not that tavern style thin crust. And the thing is that you, I'm sure you know, we are in Chicago, in the Chicago area, more of a sausage town than we are pepperoni.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip because usually it's like it gets like kind of thin and flabby when it's under the cheese.
Exactly.
You know? But, yeah. But I like that.
Yes.
Tip from Wendy. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't really like pepperoni on my pizza, yet I could eat a whole stick of pepperoni by myself. I just don't like it on a pizza. I go sausage all the way. Mark Carmen is nodding his head. Do you agree?
Not necessarily, but sometimes I like a combo sausage and pepperoni. Sometimes,
oh, mix in your meats.
A little. I mean, you can't really go wrong here.
Yeah.
But I do like this little pepperoni on top tip. That's
we are all drooling. I mean, God.
I know.
Plus the tavern style. It's like, oh, I'd love one to be magically appear here right now. Thank you. I'll continue to listen.
Can you order a pizza at this time of the morning?
Romano's got
you
connections.
you can. I was going to say, highly recommend actually for Pizza Michi. you can order starting at around 4 a.m. They don't open until 4 p.m., but, like, the reservations are so hard to get, they open at midnight, and they get snapped up, like, in minutes. And you can order pizza starting at 4 a.m., but they usually have them throughout the day, but, you know, but that's the way to go. So,
well, that is a great tip. We're all giving pizza tips this morning, Louisa.
I know. You know, it's a very important service, especially in Chicago, where we've got so much good pizza.
Absolutely. And it's really hard to pinpoint, you know, my favorites, because it depends what you're in the mood for. They all taste different. They really
do.
Wendy Snyder here on 720 WGN, sitting in for Bob Surratt. He'll be back on Monday, and we are going through some of the most memorable dishes and drinks across Chicago in the 2025 year. Louisa Chu continues. All right, Louisa, where are we going after pizza?
So let's go with a drink. So one of my most memorable drinks of last year was made with non-alcoholic Malort. So Malort, of course, is the bitter booze we love to hate in Chicago, you know, the Malort face. Well, at Void, the whimsical Italian-American restaurant at Avondale, bartender Amanda Figueroa created this cocktail called the Chaotic Good, and it is so delicious. And it's made with coffee and grapefruit and their house-made Nolort, and it's like a sippable snow cone. It's so delicious. My mouth is watering again.
All right. I was going to say, what is the point of drinking Malort if you don't get a buzz? Because, really, it does not taste good.
Yeah. You know, there's some people actually like it, but their tagline for their Nolort is, "We have successfully removed Malort's only redeeming feature." So there you go.
And so are these called mocktails now? Because I was just reading an article about how Gen Z, there aren't a lot of drinkers in that age group.
I know. I'm right there with them. So now, so again, language changes. Some people call them mocktails. Some people just call them non-alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
Or spirit-free, which is a phrase that was coined in Chicago at Kumiko, which is the James Beard Award-winning cocktail bar slash restaurant that's Japanese influenced. So you know, whatever you call it, it just doesn't have booze, but it has flavor. That is what's kind of really amazing about this new generation of these non-alcoholic drinks, which is, you know, right on trend because we're right in the middle of the very hard to say dryuary.
Right.
People are not drinking for the month.
Yeah, I have never partaken in that. And here's why, because on New Year's Eve, I'm typically drinking, unless my 7-Eleven is closed and won't sell me beer, and then, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh,
but, all right, well, I like that, and then can we just, a burger is like the perfect food for me. Can you tell us one of your favorite burgers?
One of my favorite burgers from the last year was the New Moon Burger at Funeral Potatoes in Portage Park. So Chef Alexis Rice she started off with Funeral Potatoes, which is named after the, you know, the comfort food that was often brought as potluck.
Yes, it's a casserole with hash brown potatoes and cheese, sometimes cheese whiz, if you will, and I do.
Oh.
Yeah, and a little bit of cream of chicken soup, and it's really good.
Okay, we're going to need Wendy's Funeral Potatoes because that is the dish that will bring comfort and carbs to any occasion. And so she originally didn't want to do a burger, decided when she started the permanent pop-up inside Moonflower Bar in Portage Park that she would do a burger. And she does what she calls kind of like an old-fashioned style burger. It's not a thick patty, not a super thin smash patty. She calls them just kind of like, you know, this old-fashioned kind of burger. It is double-stacked cheese, and it's got this house-made sauce that she calls, it's like her, she calls it sort of like a Midwestern housewife chili sauce. So it's kind of like a little spiced, but, you know, not spicy and so delicious. One of my favorite sides with that burger, her dill pickle pasta salad. I think about this pasta salad all the time. And it seems like, oh, it's no big deal. And it's like this, again, comfort in carbs. These shells with cheese curds, cheddar cheese, and chunks of Vargo Ferments pickles, which are made in Chicago. And they're G. Dilla garlic dill pickles. Oh, my gosh. The whole thing combined, it is, again, the burger and the dill pickle pasta salad together. Just comfort on a platter.
I have ignored the dill pickle for many years. So in 2026, I mean, I like them. I just never think to, you know, do dill pickle anything. I have them on my burgers. I have a pickle spear on my Chicago hot dog, but I never think to just enjoy a pickle. And I'm going to change that in this new year.
Yeah, that is that's a great goal. I like that.
It's an easy goal, too.
That's what we need in 2026. We need achievable goals.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. What are you going to be working on in the new year? What's some new trends we can expect?
Yeah, so new trends are the return of the deli.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So, you know, I have been on the corned beef beat for, it's going to be 10 years at the Tribune this year. Starting in March, I'm going to be putting out another corned beef sandwich guide. Well, when I did the first story 10 years ago, it was like, oh, the death of the traditional Jewish deli. Because, you know, who's going to pay $20 for a corned beef sandwich anymore? Guess what? 10 years later.
Yeah.
There is now this resurgence of the new school deli and bagels. And so, of course, you know, Steingold's was one of the original of the new school delis, multiple locations. Mentions in Evanston opened and Zeitlin's opened. Schneider Deli's opening a new location in Lincoln Park, their second. And so now we've kind of caught up. We're like, hey, you know what? Maybe a pound of meat on a sandwich is probably worth like 20-something bucks. And so I'm going to be working on that and with the top 10 iconic corned beef sandwiches.
Oh, God. I'm in heaven thinking about that.
Yeah.
And that's the only time I mix my meat. I do like corned beef and pastrami together.
Yeah.
And I'm a horseradish girl on it, too.
Oh, yeah, that kick.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chicago, of course, we are more of, again, a corned beef town than pastrami.
Yeah.
But that mix, we will tend to see, especially, you know, like, again, some of the old school delis, which isn't deli-inspired restaurants like Manny's.
Yep.
Of course, has done that, for a long time. So, you know, you get the mixed meats and the pickles there. It's all kind of wrapped up.
And the matzo ball soup. You got to have that. I love
for
it.
Sure.
Well, I look forward to talking food and salivating with you this new year in 2026, Louisa.
Thank you, Wendy. Happy salivating to you, too.
All right. Happy New Year. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, too.
Louisa Chu, Chicago Tribune food critic.